We're starting a new series, a three-week series on fresh visions, fresh expressions of the church in the 21st century. Today is Reformation Sunday. It's a good, appropriate time for us to begin thinking about what God's calling us to do and be. And we're also coming off of several weeks of talking about what kind of powers we have. What is that cluster of strengths and gifts and abilities that you have, that you bring to the worship and life of this place? So let me start this morning by saying this clearly. You are a missionary congregation. Did you know that? Is that how you think of yourselves, as a pack of missionaries? Today on the liturgical calendar is called Reformation Sunday. The Presbyterian Church has new language for it. We call it Living Missionally Sunday. I like that language too. The shift in language is appropriate. The reason that we welcome these seasons of renewal and reform into our lives is that we want to continue living together like a missionary community. We were founded by missionaries in 1859 by people with an entrepreneurial spirit who formed a new congregation out here on the new frontier, new territory. And in all sorts of ways, you continue to act like missionaries. Your gifts and resources, your financial pledge to the congregation and to the wider network of Presbyterian churches goes to support a wide variety of mission work in all kinds of places, big and small, here domestically and around the world. You will remember a year or two ago we were visited by our international peacemaker, Hoka Gallegos, who's a missionary working in the border towns near the Mexican border and doing great work there. You're also part of a smaller regional network. It's called John Calvin Presbytery, a group of churches who are working together to establish a new worshiping community in the Springfield, Missouri area. I'll say just a bit about that, and you can ask me more about it later. For the past 2.5 years, I have served as a chair of a committee that's in the planning stages to help start a new congregation or a new worshiping community there in Springfield. We've been networking and dreaming and praying about what we should start, what it should look like, what it should feel like, where it should be, and about who God's calling to lead that thing. And it's true, it's taken longer than we thought. But to be honest with you, I'm glad that we're taking our time. I'm glad that we didn't get this thing started 2 years ago when we first started dreaming about it, because we didn't know what it should look like. We hadn't talked to enough people. There are lots of churches in the Springfield area. There's no shortage of churches there, if you know Springfield. But we believe that God is calling us as a presbytery, as a network of churches, to start something unique and different, something that's needed by the people in that place, and that's what we're after. So we're talking to all kinds of different leaders in the community to figure out how we can best use our resources to start something genuinely fresh in that place, and we're excited about it. So our presbytery hasn't started a new worshiping community in quite some time, so in that way, this is something new. But on the other hand, this is a return to something our presbytery and the Presbyterian Church has been doing for a very long time. This energy, this sort of outreach-focused entrepreneurial faith, this is what it means to be Presbyterians. If you look at history, Presbyterians have been starting churches, starting schools, starting hospitals, starting all sorts of charities and mission projects around the world for a long time. So I just want you to know that you're part of a network of congregations that's experiencing sort of a renewal moment, sort of a reinvigorating, sort of refreshing, clarifying sense of mission and outreach. Like the prophet Habakkuk, we look around us and we see all kinds of reasons that we could despair and fret and complain and get depressed. Habakkuk looks around and he sees violence, injustice. He sees a law system, courts that don't work. He sees the rich taking advantage of the poor. He cries out to God to come and do something, make a difference, be here. He prays for God to rearrange a world that's bent out of shape. He begs God to change the patterns of a world that seems so cruel and indifferent to people's needs. What he wants is God's help to make a world where everyone is welcomed and loved and supported and encouraged. And he's frustrated, he's confused, he's waiting. How long, God? How long will it be till you show up and do something? But he doesn't give up. He doesn't throw in the towel, tough as it is. He's up on the wall, up on the city ramparts, looking out on the horizon, looking for good news, waiting for a sign, waiting for an answer from God. And finally, he does hear God's voice. And God says, Habakkuk, if you think I'm absent, you are mistaken. I am quietly present in the midst of the world's pain and confusion. And Habakkuk, I want you to know that I am planning something new. Yes, it lingers. You wish it were started already. It lingers, but you wait. You wait and watch. It will come. Don't grow cold. Don't give up living a life of kindness and compassion and generosity. Don't get puffed up with selfish desires. Instead, wait and watch and be faithful, and you will experience the winds of renewal. So I want you to claim that promise with me this morning as we wait and watch for the new things that God's doing among us and in the world. Like those worshipers in a small house church in Thessalonica in the middle of the first century, we too are a small band of folks gathered around Jesus Christ because we believe he's good news for us and for the whole world. We're growing together in our faithful trust that this is the right way to live, even when it's hard. We're growing in our love for each other in simple practices of paying attention to each other, listening to each other, caring for each other, being mutual support and encouragement. We persevere in tough times by staying together, by praying together and for each other, by sharing meals, by sharing our lives. And it's our resilience, the simple fact that like Habakkuk, like those early Christians in Thessalonica, we don't give up. We stay in the game. We're resilient in the face of hardship and difficulty and persecution and in the trials that come our way as a community and personally. And those are just some of the ways that we encourage one another. Now, let me back up from our readings and from us as a congregation. I want to give you a little bit bigger picture of what's going on in the Presbyterian Church. The title is 1001 New Worshiping Communities. That's the name of a Presbyterian initiative that started in 2012. In that year, the 220th General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church made a commitment to a renewal movement, denomination-wide renewal movement, that will result in the creation of 1001 new worshiping communities over the next 10 years, from 2012 to 2022. The website puts it this way, quote, "This movement will help our denomination make the shift from an inward focus membership maintenance model of the church to a more outward, creative, and disciple-making model of the church." To that I say, amen. Hallelujah. Bring it on. Let's do it. Right? This initiative started in 2012, so the goal is 1,001 new worshiping communities. They're not, by the way, the language is, why not just churches? Why not 1,001 new churches? Well, they wanted to give some latitude to what these new groups look like. We know that in some way they will worship together, but, you know, it might not look like this, and that's okay. So anyway, that's the language of new worshiping communities. To date, since 2012, 278 new worshiping communities have already been started in 113 different presbyteries. So, and ours isn't on the list yet because we haven't started yet, but we'll add to that. You may have seen this in the email we sent out this week. The average Presbyterian is a 63-year-old white woman. And I'm not going to go into all the caveats that I made in the email. But anyway, let me just say, there's nothing wrong with that. I think that was a Seinfeld episode. But there is something wrong with this, that we as the Presbyterian Church is a 90% white denomination. That's a problem for us. We know it. and we're committed to working on it, to becoming a more inclusive, more diverse, more welcoming place where all kinds of different people with different colored skin, different backgrounds, and different experiences can not just be here, but can really be here, feel welcomed, and part of this place, that we value the experiences and the life stories of people who don't look like me. Looking at the larger sort of dynamics of church affiliation in the United States, Pew polling shows that 20% of people in the U.S., that's about 46 million people, have no religious affiliation whatsoever. Okay? So this is also part of the background of this new sort of energized renewal effort. There are people who want to experience some good news, but they're not connected to any church affiliation right now. Now, I do want to say, just because someone's not affiliated with a religious organization doesn't mean that they don't believe in God, doesn't mean that they don't trust, that they don't pray to God. It just means that they're not right now connected to any network or organization for support. This is even more true for millennials, those folks born after 1986. Those young people in our community and through the United States are finding meaning and purpose and friendship and accountability and spirituality and transcendence in all sorts of different ways and all sorts of different groups. But for the most part, institutional churches, liturgies, and services like this aren't their primary way of relating to God's love and goodness. In spite of that, many of these new worshiping communities that have been started are finding ways to connect with all different types of people, and millennials, young people too. So let me just share with you a few stories of communities that have been started as part of this 1001 New Worshiping Communities initiative. So Hope for Life Chapel is a ministry within an RV park in California, right? So the pastor, she goes by the RV Reverend Tamara John. She herself lives in the RV park in a fifth wheel RV. And at the back end of that RV, there's a 10-foot by 12-foot chapel for when they need it. I don't think they use it that much. Most of the stuff, they're just out in the park. But they do have a chapel. There are 99 RV spaces in that park. There are about 144 residents. The congregation's goal is to bring the love, hope, and healing of Jesus to the RV park community. And there are all sorts of interesting demographics about who winds up living in an RV park. People who feel isolated and sort of burnt and have had difficult experiences in life. So it's a wonderful ministry. They have a Sunday night dinner and a worship service. They have Thursday night Bible study, Friday night dinner and film movie night, Saturday morning time of prayer and exercise, you know. So they're figuring out how to be together and have fun and learn and grow in an RV park. That was interesting. Shalom International Ministry, a new worshiping community started in the Atlanta area in 2011. It started with 11 people that just met in homes. They were refugees and immigrants from the Democratic Republic of the Congo, Zambia, and Cameroon. Their goal was simple, quote, to respond to the social, economic, physical, emotional, and spiritual needs of the refugees and immigrants in the area by being the church together. So after 5 months of sort of meeting in homes, they grew to about 50 people, and now they needed space, so they share space with Memorial Drive Presbyterian Church. The people in the church represent 16 different countries. I mentioned three. Add to that Rwanda, Kenya, Uganda, Nigeria, Congo, Brazzaville, Togo, Ghana, Cameroon, Nepal, Zimbabwe, Jamaica, Angola, Bhutan, and the U.S. So an incredibly diverse group of refugees meeting together, living together, helping one another navigate the difficult life in a new environment. How do you get a driver's license? How do you get a job? Hot Metal Bridge Faith Community. That's a mouthful, isn't it? Hot Metal Bridge Faith Community. I think they just go by Hot Metal Bridge. It's a joint Presbyterian and Methodist church community started in 2004. Their downtown building that they own and use is on the south side of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It is also a bar and a tattoo parlor, by the way. Their welcome video, like if you go to their website, is really cool because it's the, you know, it's a Presbyterian pastor and a Methodist pastor outside, and they say, "Hey, I'm Jeff, this is Jim, and we're the pastors of this bar." I just thought that's a cool thing to say. Our bars have pastors too, but you know, they don't have official titles. We should give them these. Anyway, so this group sees themselves as a bridge for all kinds of people who are more comfortable in a bar or a tattoo parlor, a bridge to connect them to God's love in Jesus Christ, to their own worth and dignity, connect them to a larger community of meaning. They're clear that everyone is welcome. They have a note on their website saying that LGBTQ folks are welcome into all aspects of the church's life. They gather around a table each week for communion, food, eating's really important to them, so they do that every week. They have a free community meal open to the community or their neighborhood every Tuesday and Thursday night. The third floor of their downtown building, they have named the Lofts, and they use it as retreat space for groups who come in from elsewhere and cooperate with them in their various urban ministries, providing food and shelter, all that sort of stuff. The message on their homepage, I liked it, it says, at Hot Metal Bridge, everyone's invited to the table. You don't have to jump through hoops or tick off a checklist. All you need is a heart that's hungry for God's gifts. I like that language, right? I hope that's true of us too. No checklists. You don't have to look a certain way, be a certain way. You don't have to have a certain resume. Just if you want God's goodness, God's love, God's grace with other people on the same journey, just get here and we'll do this together. Big Table. A new ministry, very different. It's an outreach ministry in Spokane, Washington. Their mission statement reads, Big Table exists to see the lives of those working in the restaurant and hospitality industry transformed by building community around shared meals and caring for those who are in crisis transition or falling through the cracks. Really interesting outreach ministry geared toward people working in a specific industry. The restaurant and hospitality industry is a huge industry. Employs massive numbers of people. It's also an incredibly difficult field to work in because of all kinds of reasons. Difficult hours. It ends up being a catch space for people who have to work multiple jobs, and long hours makes it difficult to have good relationships. But their goal is transformation. They want to help people move from a life that's defined by crisis and survival, sort of a low expectations life, to a life that's defined by health, vitality, and abundance. And they have a big table, literally a big table that they can set up in different places. It seats 48 people, and they only do this four times a year. They invite 48 people to come experience an 8-course meal. It's free. It's a gift. And members of their community, and then past guests at the big table, they come and prepare and help serve, and it's always amazing because they work with lots of chefs. And then at the end of that meal, they share a little bit about the mission of Big Table, and they ask people how they can be of help, and then they have a follow-up process where they can get people the specific help they need. The industry has huge problems with drug and alcohol addiction and relationship trouble and divorce, and it's a tough industry. And then they ask folks, are there people you work with that you think might enjoy this meal and some of the help that we could give them? And that's how they build lists for future meals. The Garden Church in San Pedro, California started just this past May. This new community of people volunteered to take ownership and responsibility for a really ugly vacant lot between two buildings in their downtown, and that's their church, an open lot. And so they've reimagined this nothing place as this beautiful little urban garden, and when they meet together for worship on Sunday nights, it's always a meal that includes food from the garden, and it's always includes garden time. So if you show up, you're going to get your hands dirty. And they have volunteer times for the community garden through the week. So they are in the middle of that city, in the middle of that downtown, and they've turned an ugly place into a beautiful place, and they invite all kinds of people in to help them do it. And they're having a blast doing it. Closer to home, our friends down in Joplin at First Presbyterian Church, they've recently remodeled a building across the street from the church building. They call it the 502 building. They've reimagined as a gathering place, a place of hospitality for a new worshiping community. They're only doing sort of a new experimental worship service Sunday evenings about once a month. But they're hosting this Taking Flight course, which is an ACT prep course for high school students in the Joplin area. They're hosting sort of financial classes to help people get their ducks in a row financially. And so it's a wonderful ministry. One statistic, I'm done giving you examples. There's lots more. But interesting, unique visions and missions to reach specific people, to solve particular community problems, that's inspiring. Anyway, 57% of these new worshiping communities don't have a church building, don't meet in anything that you would consider a church building. So meeting in all kinds of spaces and in open garden lots. Now, of course, we got founded a long time ago. We are not a new worshiping community, but I hope that you could call us young at heart. We ourselves have tried to be experimental and entrepreneurial. We're blessed with this amazing, beautiful building that we value and try to take care of. But we do leave it once in a while. We can be mobile. We've gathered for Easter services out on the front lawn when we put colorful flowers in the cross to celebrate the Resurrection Day. We've gathered down in Zimmerman Hall for services around short films and conversation and prayer together. We've gathered outdoors for work days. We've gathered in Gunn Park and on the trails at the park in celebration of nature and creativity. We've gathered at the Gordon Park Center at the community college. We gather this afternoon in three different nursing homes to share good news with the folks who are there and to say hello to them. And in all these movements, in all these gatherings in different places, we're asking one another to reimagine what it means to be a community of good news, what it means to connect with the needs of the folks who live where we live. Let me finish just by giving you a couple practical things. What can we do? Okay, there's this renewal movement. Presbyterians are trying to start 1,001 new worshiping communities. Great, why does that matter to me? Let me give you a few things you could do. In Luke 10:2, Jesus says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." So what many new worshiping communities are doing is at 10:02 every morning, they're praying Luke 10:2. So I want to invite you to do that, not just for the new worshiping community that we're trying to start in Springfield, but for all of them and for our congregation. At 10:02 every morning, pray Luke 10:2. "Lord, there's lots to do. We need more of us to do it. Send the workers." Okay, there's one thing. Secondly, just continue to be generous in the way that you are incredibly generous. Support the mission work of this congregation. We give mission money in all sorts of different directions. When we get this new worshiping community up in Springfield, I hope that you will double down and support that little fledgling thing as it gets going. Here's another thing. Maybe someone here has been fired by these sort of entrepreneurial visions of what a new worshiping community be. Maybe one of you are called to lead one of these things, to be a pastor of one of these new communities. It might be a young person who wants to do this, and you thought, "Well, I'd be cool to be a pastor, but I don't want to be it like Jared is in this stodgy sort of traditional way. I'm going to do something different." Well, you can. It can look like anything you want it to look like. You've seen. I've tried to give you a few examples of this. Maybe it's someone who's already in a career, and this will be a second career thing. Maybe it won't be the way you earn a living. Maybe you'll do it alongside of what you're already doing. I don't know. Maybe all this talk about new groups gathering can be an inspiration for some new groups that need to gather right here, just sort of within our own congregational life of work and worship. So if you're here and you've been thinking, "I wish there were a community of 2 or 3 or 8 or 10 or whatever, people who would get together on some basis for blah," right? Whatever it is, for a project you're passionate about, for some area of community service, or simply to pray and share your lives or just eat together, or whatever that vision is, and you haven't found that little group that's meeting that need, then come see me and we will get this thing figured out. Maybe we need to start some new groups. Finally, open your heart to be inspired by the blowing winds of God's Spirit. Be open to prayer, to a deepened discipleship yourself, to joyful worship. And like Seth said, if Jesus Christ has been good to you, if you have found joy and newness and gladness and strength and resilience to meet the tough stuff that's come your way, then invite others to come share it with you. And Lord, help us in all we've been called to do. Amen.